This is like Lucifer, who's fallen from heaven onto earth, wants to break out of earth and get back into the universe. And he can do that if he gets Covenant's ring. So that's like Sauron. He wants to get a hold of the ring. But Lord Fal also says, I will make your life so miserable, Thomas Covenant, that you will give me the ring. I will continue to torture you and to make everything you touch be destroyed until you give me the ring. And so there's this interesting play, and you know, of course, that in the end, Covenant's going to meet Fal, but I won't say how that plays out, and it takes six books, in some way, books. But what Donaldson was trying to do, in some ways, with Lord Fal, though there are problems with Lord Fal, with this idea of corruption, of infection, that's entered into bodies and can't be purified, is that he's reacting against Tolkien's notions of purity. If you think about how Tolkien created Galadriel, she's pure and tall and a glass filled with light, and she gives Frodo the phial of Galadriel with pure light coming out of it. If you think when Frodo is injured and they remove the splinter from his shoulder and Gandalf thinks he may become like a glass filled with clear light for those to see. These images of purity are beautiful, but they're also exclusive. And anyone who's been tainted or destroyed in some way can't really fit in. What Donaldson adds then is this idea of healing and how someone who's imperfect, even wildly imperfect like Thomas Covenant, could in the end do something very wonderful and powerful for the land. Now, this is not to say there aren't some flaws in Donaldson's work. Just as in Tolkien, there's a series of journeys in the Chronicles of Thomas Covenant. In the first book, for example, after Covenant has traveled through the beauty of the land and seen everything that he's supposed to see and gets to Revelstone and meets the lords, then they go off on a journey across the land through the Landsdrop. There's like a plateau on one side and you have to go down a large cliff and into the lands to the east. Likewise, in the second book, there's a variety of journeys and there's a battle and so forth. This time they go to the west and Covenant actually meets up with his own daughter because the time passes differently. The daughter who's the product of the rape that he had done in the first book. And they have a very interesting relationship because she absolutely adores him even after what he's done. And this is actually one of Covenant's problems and a very interesting take on it by Donaldson, because everybody adores Covenant except a few people who really hate and despise him, who have good reasons for that because of all the horrible things he's done and the fact that he's refused to help the land willingly and so forth. So there's the idea of various journeys going on while there's a huge battle going on. And there's also characters who brought in from the primary world, a character named Hyle Troy, a blind man who's a military genius, who is helping the armies of the lords fight off the evil armies of Lord Fal. There's kind of a secondarily evil creature, Drool Rockworm, who's a cave wight who has discovered the Staff of Law and is misusing it, and also some large thing called a bane called the Ill-Earth Stone, which causes him to be able to mutate things and make horrible things happen, and Lord Fal gets a hold of that Ill-Earth Stone eventually. The three books, by the way, I should have said, are called Lord Fal's Bane, The Ill-Earth War, and The Power That Preserves. In each case, the books have a much more of a close and a climax than the three books of The Lord of the Rings, which again were meant to be one large book. Each of these books closes up fairly nicely. But in each of them, Covenant does something good, something to save the land temporarily, but still refuses, is always refusing. It's about his unbelief. And I think that's very important to understand